believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up near Quebec City, Canada, and wanted to be an ice hockey goalie from the time she was 5 years old. On September 23, 1992, in an NHL exhibition game between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the St. Louis Blues, she made history by being the Lightning's goalie, thereby becoming the first and only woman to ever play in the NHL. Her name? Manon Raume. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us, on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now here's Jack.
We're with Manon Raume, the only woman to ever play in the NHL. Manon, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you.
And your accent as well. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Yeah, I'm born in Quebec City, so obviously from a French background. And I had two brothers, one older, one younger. And my parents was really involved in sports. My dad was the one who was doing the ice rink, the outdoor ice rink where I grew up. I grew up in Lac Beauport, where most of the people were doing alpine skiing because I was in the mountains. But my dad decided to build an ice rink, an outdoor ice rink there, and we got involved at a young age of skating and playing hockey.
One of your brothers has played in the NHL as well.
Yes. My younger brother played in the NHL too, so we come from a very hockey-oriented family, so that's all we did all our life when we were younger.
What did your dad do and what did your mom do?
My dad was building houses, and my mom, while we were young, she was a stay-at-home mom, but she also, when we grew up and were older, she was a secretary in our school, so...
What were the biggest things you learned, Manon, from your dad? And what were the biggest things you learned from your mom?
From my dad, to always be strong. I remember when I was young and started playing hockey and goaltender, and he wanted me to get better, obviously. So we were going in the basement, and sometime the puck hurt. I was getting hit on the arms and I wanted to stop. And he said, you know what, if you want to do knitting, it's not going to hurt. So go ahead and do knitting instead of playing hockey. But if you play hockey, you're going to have to be tough because you're going to have to face those things. So I think my dad was really pushing me to, if I decide to do that, to be tough and get through difficult time. My mom is a very strong person. She works really hard. She basically raised the three of us. My dad was working, so she was the one taking us everywhere, make sure she support us in our sports. So I learned a lot from her as far as now being a mom, having two children, how to raise my sons.
You're very classy. You're a lady. And some would think, boy, if this girl played hockey her whole life with all of these boys, tomboy, not ladylike. Where did you get that classiness, that ladiness?
Actually, when I was young, at 5 years old, I was not only playing hockey, but I was also doing ballet. I was really involved in girls' activity too, but I liked to play hockey. And I remember my mom, it was very important for her that I stay very feminine. And if the whole hockey team was getting jacket, my grandma was knitting a sweater that was matching the hockey team, but was very feminine, and I was wearing a different hat, more feminine, with the same color of the team. So that was very important for her that I stay a girl at that young age, and I think that just carried on throughout the...
It's one thing for a girl in Canada to want to skate. You know, every kid in Canada wants to skate. But at 5 years old, you decide, I'm going to be a goalie. Why a goalie?
Actually, when I was at home with my two brothers, both of them was playing, and every day when I just wanted to play with them in the backyard, they were dressing me as a goaltender and shooting puck at me, so I was a target for them. And one night, my dad was coaching my younger brother's team, which they were only, you know, young little players starting to know to play hockey, and he didn't have any goaltender, they were just skater. But they were going to tournaments, so he was debating which kids he would choose to dress as a goalie to go in this tournament. So we were at the dinner table, and that's when I suggest to him, why not me? I do it for my brothers here all the time. Can I play too at the rink like my brother does? So my mom at first, she's like, no way. I don't want my little girls playing hockey. But I guess they talk about it later, and they decide to let me try it. So, but the funny thing is, my daddy wanted to make sure the people didn't judge me because I come in there and I was a girl. So what they did is they got me dressed and put my helmet on and everything before I got to the rink. So the parents didn't notice that that was me going in the net and playing goalie. And they were all excited to see, oh, we got a goalie and this is so much fun. It's perfect for the tournament. And it's only after the first practice they realized it was me. And I think it really helped at that young age to at least get accepted in that team.
Every time you went to a different team, you know, another level, from the squirts to the peewees to whatever, the vast majority of kids, parents, coaches had to say, no way, Jose, we don't want you. This is a publicity stunt. This is crazy. She's going to get hurt. All the reasons why. How did you handle that over and over and over?
You know, when I was younger, my parents were trying to protect me from it. They didn't tell me everything that was going on. It's later in life they told me what... They're the one who had to to listen to the parents or to listen to the coaches. But I was going trying out to the highest level, and even if I was performing very well and I should have stayed longer in the tryouts or even make the team, I was getting cut right away, and I thought because I was not good enough, but it was really because I was a girl at that time. And I don't know how many times I was on the ice and tryouts and performing well, and you hear some of the other parents, the goaltender parents, saying, what a girl's doing here. She's taking the spot of one of our boys that's going to make it to the NHL. And we're only like 7, 8 years old at that time. But at that time, no other girls was playing, so that was different. And I think some of those parents didn't want to see me taking the spot of one of their boys.
We're talking to Manon Rayom. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Manon Rayom. Your nickname could be The First, because every year and a half, you did something that no other woman had ever done. The first one to play in this tournament, the first one to play at this level, on and on and on and on. What was the toughest The First you ever had to do?
I would say other than the NHL one, which was obviously not just tough to have to deal with the whole thing, but with having the media attention and everything else to deal around it was tough. But I just remember at a young age, no girls was playing in a double-A level in Quebec, and every single year then I try out, even if I had a good tryout, people are saying no to me. And it was really hard, because when you get older and you realize why, it's a lot easier to accept it. But at a young age, you don't know, and you just think you're not good enough, and you're trying again and trying again, and you're like, okay, I'm playing well, but why not me? And finally, when I was at the age, I think I was bantam, so I was probably 13, 14 years old, one coach is just give me a chance. He said, she's the best goaltender here, and I'll take her on my team. And I think a lot of people were upset about it, but that was really the first time I was able to break through trying out, playing well, and finally someone was giving me a chance to play at the highest level.
You had to have tremendous self-confidence at a very early age to do this. How did you get that self-confidence?
I don't know if it's something that you're born with or, you know, it was in your family trait and you just have it. But I think the way my parents raised us, the three of us, they always let us decide what we want to do as far as sports or activity and things like that. They let us try, fail, try again, fail, try again. But they were always there to support us. They never tried to do things for us. They let us do it on our own, and they were always behind us to support us. And I think that helped me throughout the years to face tough time, because I've been through it where I was a young age and I had to deal with it by myself. And but I know my parents was always there too, which was nice.
A lot of fights in hockey. Did you ever get into a fight?
No. I'm not tough. I may be facing those hard shots and everything, but I'm not a tough girl.
Did you ever swing the stick at somebody's legs?
Push it a little bit, just so to make a point that even if I'm a girl, she cannot just push me around, but not fighting.
What advice would you give to the dads listening tonight who have a daughter about helping that daughter get self-confidence?
You know, I really encourage them to try different things and not being scared to try things if they are interested in any kind of sports or activity. Even if it can be a hard thing to accomplish, it's encourage them to go for it and not trying to do everything for them. Like, let them get things done, but being there to support them.
When you were 15, you quit hockey for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And then why did you come back?
I quit because the last year I played Bantam AA, which was the highest level at that level. Every goaltender was invited to the midget AAA training camp, except me. So obviously at this point, I knew, because I was a girl, we're getting closer to the juniors and the pros, and that people would say no to me. And the result is I was not able to make a midget AA team after that, because those goaltender that went to the AAA tryout was taking the spot in a AA team. So I ended up being in the next level, which was still a good level, but at this point, most of the guys, they don't see any future in hockey, so it's teenage years. They're looking forward to going to tournament, to parties and things like that, and that was not me. And I started playing, and I was just, that was not something that I was interested to do. So I decided to stop before the end of the year, because to go to a tournament and having people drinking when you're not even supposed to be drinking in your team and things like that, that was putting me in a situation I didn't like to be. So I quit, but I missed it. I would follow my brother playing all the time. My brother was still playing midget AAA at a high level, and was at every single one of his game. And I saw that women's national team was in 1990. That was the first time they had USA against Canada. Never heard about that before. I'm like, where'd that come from? Where those girls play? I didn't even know that they had some girls, you know, at some place that they had high-level hockey. So that was mostly girls from Toronto that was playing on that Canadian national team at that time. And they played the U.S., and I saw something about it. So I got interested. I started looking into it, and I find a place where they have girls from Montreal that was a pretty high level of play for girls, and I joined their team so the following year. And I had to drive 2.5 hours every Saturday night to go play a game. And because we were girls, our game was at 11, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. So sometimes I was not coming back home on Sunday morning until 5, 6 a.m., but I wanted to play. I wanted to be able to make that team one day.
Did they always give you a special dressing room? Where'd you get dressed?
When I was playing with the guys, I always, at a younger age, obviously, you dress with the team, and I was getting out of the locker room, and the guys were able to shower, and I was showering at home. But when I got to junior and playing pros, I always had a separate locker room somewhere. I dress in bathrooms sometimes, because rink didn't have any locker room, so they put a chair in the women's bathrooms. So, but that's how I had to do it. So,
How did you ever get drafted by the NHL?
I guess it's to be at the right place at the right moment, kind of sequence of event. But first, the way that I got invited to a junior training camp, I was playing with that that was a Quebec team, all girls team, the year after I quit playing, and we went to the Quebec Championship, and one of the scouts from a junior team saw the game on TV, and they saw me at the rink somewhere, and they said, you know, that was pretty good. And he started telling me the guys that was playing on his team, and I said, oh, I play with this guy. I play with this guy when I was playing Bantam AA. And he said, you know what? You should come out for a practice one day. And I came out for a practice, and I performed well enough for him to look at me and said, you know what? I want you to come to our tryout next year. So that's how I got invited to a junior tryout. And from the junior tryout, I did very well there. So they kept me as a third goaltender. They sent me in a junior A team to play games during the year. But if they had an injury, I was called up to play with them. And I ended up playing in a game with them, which this game was a big publicity. Like after the game, that was the first time girls played major junior. So that was a big deal. So people got a hold of that game. And one of the scouts of the Tampa Bay Lightning got that game, sent it to Phil Esposito. And that summer after the junior year, I thought hockey was over for me. So I was working to make money to be able to go to university in a TV station. And my first assignment was the NHL draft in Montreal. And when I was there, the scout from the Tampa Bay Lightning saw me and introduced me to Phil Esposito. And we start talking, and he said to me, would you like to come to our training camp? And I thought he was joking. But he said, you'll receive a letter in the mail, and you got 2 weeks to respond. And if you say yes, you're invited.
And the rest is history. We're talking to Manon Rayom, and I'm Jack Rasula. When we come back, we'll ask her about September 23rd, 1992. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with the first woman to ever play in the NHL, Manon Rayom. Manon, let's go back September 23rd, 1992. Share with us from the time you got up to the time you went to sleep.
You know, first of all, that day, I didn't expect going to a training camp and play an exhibition game. I thought I would be there the first week, like all the rookie, and get caught after a week and go home. But the first time I was on the ice in training camp, we were splitting the teams right away and play a game. So we had no practice. It was a game right away. And the first time I played in those little game between the teams, I didn't allow any goal in 14 shots, and right after this game, we went to a press conference, and that's when Phil Esposito said, the way she played today, she may play an exhibition game, and my legs start shaking. I couldn't believe what he said. So leading up to that, it was, you know, we had games and practice, but it was a lot of pressure knowing that it would happen. I remember being on the bus on the way, because we were practicing a different rink than where we were playing. So we were on the way to the rink, and you know, it was just kind of surreal knowing that I was going and play in the NHL game. And when I walk in the rink, that's when I felt the pressure. My heart never beat that fast in my whole life. I walk in the locker room, and I saw a big, huge bouquet of flowers. So I went to look who sent me those flowers. And it was a radio station from Montreal. And the card said, we all behind you. You're not alone. Go for it. And that made me feel so much better. I think knowing that that was not just me playing a game, but I had all those people, even if I knew some people didn't want me to do well, a lot of people were behind me and wanted me to do well. So that helped me to feel a lot better. But again, when it was the time to walk on the ice for the warm-up, just a step before I step on the ice, that pressure again and my heart beating again. And finally, when I got on the ice and I started playing and the game started, I totally forget where I was. I forget that I was wearing an NHL jersey. I forget the fact that I was the first woman doing this. I forget that I was huge guys in front of me shooting the puck at me. And I was just playing a hockey game. And that's when I knew that this is what I like to do. Like, when it's come down, bottom line was, I love to be on the ice. I like to play. And when I'm there, I'm very comfortable. And obviously, after the first period, I was a big relief knowing that it went well. The game was 2-2. And, you know, I did well for not having any experience, for having to deal with all that pressure. And obviously, I had a lot to... It was not just playing for me there, but, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, if I didn't play well, they would have looked bad. Phyllis Bozzetto would have looked bad. People would have been all over me. So it was very important. So the relief after the game was amazing.
When we come back, we'll ask Manon Rayom what it was like to win 2 gold medals for the Canadian women's hockey team. I'm Jack Grisullo. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
We're with Manon Rayom, and her autobiography is titled Manon, Alone in Front of the Net. You won 2 gold medals for Canada with the women's national team. What's the feeling when you stand on the podium to get a gold medal?
It's a great feeling, actually, because it's not just you won with your team. You represent your country. You won for your country. So it is a great feeling. I remember every time I watched the Olympics and I saw the Canadian walking around in the opening ceremony, and you always like have the butterfly in your stomach. So now that was me doing this. So it was it's pretty amazing feeling.
When you watch the Olympics today and a fellow Canadian wins a gold medal and they sing, "Oh Canada, glorious and free," on and on, what do you do?
Oh, it's great. It's great because I know the feeling. I know the feeling of working hard, making sacrifice to get there. It's not easy to make it to the Olympics. It's a lot of sacrifice and it's a lot of hard work. And so when you accomplish something, it's a great feeling. But it's funny, my two sons are American, so I have to cheer for both Canadian and American now.
When you're in the goal, Minnow, everybody sees when you fail. You know, when some are screaming, sieve, sieve, and you fail time after time. You have to get back up. How do you handle that pressure?
Actually, for me, this is why I like to be a goaltender, because you're under a lot of pressure and you can make a difference in the game. Even if your team's playing well, if the goaltender doesn't play well, you can lose game. And on the other side too, if your team doesn't play well but your goaltender is playing very well, you can win games. So the position of goaltender, you can make totally a difference in the game, and that's why I like it. It's the pressure you're under is just a great feeling. The save, when you're making those save and you make your team win, it's just to be part of it, it's a great feeling. So for me, it's more like something that I enjoy.
Who's the greatest goalie of all time?
It's a hard question. I had a few goalies that I, you know, really like. Patrick was obviously one of the great one. Martin Brodeur, I don't think he's got the recognition that he should. He's been winning and winning over and over. He's another great goaltender. And we see a lot of young one coming up now. But it's... we have to wait and see if they can keep that consistency that Roy or Brodeur got throughout the years.
Who's the best hockey player you ever saw?
That's a good question, again. Obviously, the one I saw playing over and over, Wayne Gretzky has been obviously one of the best out there, because not only he was great on the ice, but he was really good off the ice too. And also, it was just a little thing. Like, you see him off the ice and you wonder, how did he make it night after night and be so successful and being that small? So I think, obviously, right now he's probably one of the best ever played the game. But you see kids like Sidney Crosby coming up, and he's already, you know, beating some records. So he's someone to look up to.
A week ago, we were having lunch to prep for this.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy comes up to the table and introduces himself to you, Pavel Datsyuk, to meet you. Talk about Pavel Datsyuk.
He's another amazing player, because not only is he talented, but he's a small guy. Like, after seeing him without his equipment, he's just a small guy, but he is so strong out there. He's got amazing head. And that's why I was laughing when you said to him, do you know who she is? I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Do you know who I'm with now?
When somebody meets you and they find out who you are, the reaction over and over is, oh, really? No, not really. How do you handle it? That happens to you every day.
I think because people expect, you're a goaltender, you play with mans, they expect seeing me huge and, I don't know, look stronger or more masculine or something like that. And I always stay a girl, no matter which level I played. And when I was playing in the pros and we're going to the game, and sometimes I was wearing a suit with skirt instead of the guys in their suit. So I'm a girl, so I'm always going to stay a girl.
You know, you're 5'6", 5'7", very slender. You could be a model. You're beautiful. Have you ever asked God, Minnow, why me? There's been 5 billion women to walk the face of the earth, and you've done something that no other woman in the history of the world has ever done. Have you ever asked him, why me?
Not necessarily ask him, but it came to my mind, like... not necessarily why me, but how lucky I was to be at the right place, right moment, to have those opportunities. And even if I had some tough time, I did meet some great people along the way that supported me and gave me those chances. And after that, now that I look back at this whole thing, what is the most satisfying? It's the impact that I had on some young girls and, you know, making a difference in their life now, and they look up to me. And that's the greatest feeling about this whole accomplishment. It's to see that you had an impact on people, and maybe that's the reason this whole thing happened.
What advice would you give to a listener tonight who wants to do something special, and he or she hears over and over, you could never do that, that's crazy, come on, be real? What do you tell those listeners?
It's, you don't want to live your life with regret, and you want to make sure you, if you like something, if you want to do something, to try, because to be scared of failing, you're never going to accomplish anything. So when I looked at it, a lot of people told me that before they go to Tampa Bay, are you not scared to look terrible out there? And my response to that was, if I don't go, I'm not going to know. And if I don't perform, if I don't play well, at least I can say I tried. And I guess I would say, just go for it and try.
Throughout these different teams, you had a few guys that said something good to you about before the game. Others doubted you. The ones that supported you, what they tell you?
You know, a lot of people, I think, had doubts when I play pro and everything. But when I was on the team, they saw how hard I worked every single day. I was the first one on the ice. I was the last one leaving the ice. I was always doing extra. I was at the gym for 2 or 3 hours. I was not going out and party at night. I was in bed early, eating right, training to get stronger. So I think they realized that I was there for the right reason. And those people, they were supporting me. And they started treating me like their little sister and protecting me. But obviously, once in a while, and on the team, I had one or two guys that didn't like the fact that I was a girl, and made my year very hard, because during practice, they were shooting puck at my face, trying to scare me, and things like that. So I had just had to be tough.
We're talking to Minnow Rayom. If you Google her, you find a lot of stuff out there. One is a quote that she uses over and over. It goes like this. In life, not just in sports. If you don't try, you cannot know what you can do. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Manon Rayom, the first and the only woman to ever play in the NHL. Manon, you were once offered $1 million to pose for Playboy. You said no thanks. You've been true to yourself. Talk about being true to oneself.
I think the fact that I was, my surrounding, my parents, my brothers, that it was very helpful to stay myself. Like all the thing my parents teach me, I think it stayed with me, even if I went through having all of a sudden becoming that public person and getting invited to all those great things and meeting all those celebrity and everybody wants to do anything for you. So I think because I had a good base with my family, it really helped to just stay myself throughout this whole process. And for me, it was really important because bottom line, I was just a young girl from Quebec that had a dream and had wanted to play at the highest level. And that's how I wanted people to remember me.
You were famous. You had magical moments, limos, banquets, autograph signing sessions, meeting politicians, Hollywood, other athletes. You had it all. And now you're a mom with an 8-year-old and a 1-year-old, 2 sons. Do you ever miss the fame?
You know, not really, because that was one part of my life. And I look at it that way. That was a great part of my life. I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot. You know, that teach me a lot. And now I'm moving on. This is new. I got 2 sons now, and now I want to be a good role model for them. I want, as a mom. And I'm trying to remember a lot of the good things my parents did for us, and that's how I indulge my children. Like, I want to teach them the right thing to do and support them in what they're doing, let them try things and compete for a spot on the team by themselves and having them earn their own things. So because I know it's important, that's what make me the person that I am now.
You talked about you moved on. Life is a series of chapters, and when one door closes, another opens. A lot of people are watching doors close right now. They're losing their jobs, etc., and they're extremely fearful about starting a new chapter. And now, you know, the holiday seasons. What would you tell to those listeners?
You know, it's funny because someone told me that once about, you know, being in a working environment where you lose your job and you have to try new and everything. Sometimes you get in a situation where you get very comfortable and you don't know that you can do even more, and you don't know what else can be out there for you, because you're in that situation, it's an everyday thing and nothing is changing. But when you're forced to do something different, for example, losing your job or retiring from a sports and things like that, you have to search what else can you do. And when you can find out, a lot of people can find that they have a lot more better opportunity or better things ahead of them. It's just they never thought they couldn't get there until they are forced to.
You have 2 sons. Dylan's 8 and Dakota is 1. Dylan, the 8-year-old. Does he ever tell his friends who his mom is?
You know, the funny thing with Dylan is he started playing hockey and he had no clue who I was, what I did, or things like that. It's not like he walking in the house and I got picture of me. I don't have anything hanging and things like that. So I think he discovered what I did throughout the years as it got older and people were coming up to me and asked me to sign autograph. And, you know, seeing my hockey cards, and now he's collecting cards. So he's got all mommy's hockey cards, and I think now he realized what I did because of what other people was saying to him. But it's funny because he's a goaltender now, and if I go play for fun, he's telling me what to do.
Where are your two gold medals?
They are at home. I'm saving them at home. And same thing with my silver Olympic medal. So that's something that I just keep them. Nothing hanging out somewhere. But
what kind of a hockey mom are you, Manon Rayon?
Actually, I have a lot of respect for my mom because being the mom of a goaltender, it's more stressful than anything else. Again, because a goaltender, you know, can every mistake they make, everybody sees it. And when you're talking about young children, like your own son who's starting playing goalie and allowed a bad goal, and you see all the parents looking at each other or be all depressed about it, it's really hard knowing it's your, you know, your own son. And so it's a lot of stress for parents, especially a goaltender parents, but I also coach his team, or I'll help coaching his team. So I have to be very, you know, neutral and very supporting him as much as supporting the rest of the kids on the team.
When you coach your son's team, and some other little kid says, you know, who are you? You're a girl. Or some parent says, I don't want my son. Do you tell them who you are?
Actually, the parents knows, and most of the time they told their kids. So I think the kids at our age now, it's not, they see a lot of girls playing hockey. They actually have a lot of girls. We have a young girls playing goaltender with my son. So it's more normal for them to see it. So I don't think they're judging that at all. Plus, their parents tell them what I did before. So I think they think it's cool.
Talk about the value of girls playing team sports.
It's very, very important. Not only playing team sports, but having more opportunity in a college level with all those new rules that you have to have, you know, equal number of sports between the women's and the men's. I think it's very important because why not having the same opportunity than guys?
Who are your heroes, Manon Rayon?
When I grew up, Daniel Bouchard was my hero. He was a goaltender from the Quebec Nordiques. He was a great goaltender, but was also a great person off the ice, and I admire him a lot.
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
To not be afraid to follow your dream. And sometimes even if people tells you you should not be doing this, or it's why doing this, don't be afraid to try. You're never going to know. You don't want to leave your life with regret.
It's amazing what you've done. And it's amazing the classiness and the ladylike way in which you've done. Congratulations. Please keep up the great work. You're an inspiration to girls and women all over the world. Honored to have you.
Thank you.
Our guest next Sunday will be the singing nun from Rochester, Sister Karen Halver. Until then, I'm Jack Grasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.